Being the first Sunday, of course, we're having the Lord's table. As you can see, in a few moments, we will share in the breaking of bread. It's some part of the worship, and it's something that our Lord requested us to do, his followers to do. One of the, if you like, sacraments is baptism. If you love the Lord, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and are following him in this world, in your life now, be baptized, believe, be baptized. And the second one is to remember the sufferings, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the breaking of bread. And the Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. And just as we lead up to the breaking of bread, I just want to speak for a moment or two on what it means, for example, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and the last verse. If you like to turn in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Word of God says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Word of God says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. These are powerful words. Unfortunately, friends, there is teaching going around today by some popular pastors and teachers which tell us that actually Christ became the sin affected his nature so that he had to be born again, like you and me. This is gathering momentum, that teaching. And I just want to explain today what this verse really means so that you will be able to refute such teaching. If you hear it or if you read about it, you'll be able to say, no, this is error. This is not right. Because if Jesus actually became a sinner, then he could not be our atonements. No way. He's perfect. What does it mean that he became sin for us? And so we've just read in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The original Greek word for sin, as we've just read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, is hamartia, H-A-R-M-A-R-T-I-A, which can be translated either sin or sin offering. It can be translated either sin or sin offering. It is the very same word that is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. This is what we read in Isaiah 53, the prophetic passage which tells us about the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So again, an offering for sin, or a sin offering, the same word used, hamartia, an offering for sin. So Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, became both sin and a sin offering for us. Jesus became sin for us, but he never, ever, never, ever needed to be born again. Jesus did not become sinful. This goes well beyond what the Bible is saying concerning Christ's atoning sacrifice for you and for me and for the world. Jesus could only become sinful if he took sin upon his own nature. He could only become sinful if he took sin into his own nature by committing sin himself. If Jesus had committed sin, it would have affected his nature. He would have been a sinner. But that, of course, would annul completely Christ's perfection, and makes no sense of the atoning sacrifice. Praise God, he was, and I can't get my head around this completely, he was tempted in all ways like we are, but he never sinned. He is the perfect Son of God. Hallelujah. So the context of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins was a sacrifice once for all. It was, of course, the final fulfillment of the Old Testament animal sacrifice system. It was fulfillment of the Old Testament animal sacrifice system. For example, if we consider the sacrificial offerings which were made on the Day of Atonement, which you can read, for example, in the Word of God in Leviticus chapter 16, the two goats, the Lord's goat and the scapegoat, were both subject to, if you like, the imposition of the priest's hands. The priest put both hands on both goats. And what was happening symbolically was that he was imputing the sins of the people, as Leviticus says, their iniquities, their transgressions. He was imputing the sins onto the goats, onto their bodies. The people's sins, their transgressions, their wrongdoing, was not imposed upon the animals' natures. It was put upon their bodies. One goat died, the other was released. Christ, our sacrifice, fulfills both. And not symbolically, but literally. Hallelujah! Our sins were imputed to Christ. Our sins were put on Christ. And in return, as this text in 2 Corinthians 5 says, his righteousness has been put on us, imputed to us. And you can read about that at your leisure in Romans chapter 4, for example, verses 5 to 8. And so, through his death and resurrection, Jesus did for us what we could not do ourselves. His work, not ours, removed the curse that was upon us because of our disobedience to the law. And it was placed upon himself. Hallelujah. He accomplished this by hanging on the tree, by hanging on the cross, and shedding his perfect, 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 sinless blood as our substitute. Hallelujah. Can't I hear hallelujah? This should get you excited. Let me just quote a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Glory, glory. Hebrews 9, again, still in Hebrews 9, verse 28. Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Hallelujah. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. These verses, friends, and what I have shared of Christ bearing our sins and taking them away, what a there was no sin in him. He did not need to be born again. And his sacrifice under the law system was perfect. Absolutely perfect. He was without spot, without blemish. And under the Old Testament system that you read in plenty in Leviticus, for example, it was the animal's shed blood that covered the sins of the people. But only temporary. It was very temporary. Under the new law of grace, it is the perfect shed blood of Christ that takes away our sin permanently. And he could not have done that had he become sinful. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. So as we are going to sing a hymn now and then come around the Lord's table, I hope each and every one of us know that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, that our own sins have indeed been washed away, that we've been to the cross, repented of our sins, and found his grace and salvation. And that he has, by believing on him, given us his Holy Spirit, that it is no longer I that lives, it's no longer you that lives, it is Christ living in you, living the life of resurrection. I pray that each one of us do know our sins forgiven, that we have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. But if there is anyone here who does not have that assurance that they belong to Jesus, and if Christ was to call them today to leave this world, that they would be with him forever and ever. If you don't have that assurance, as we sing this hymn, just look unto Jesus. Seek his face. Ask him to cleanse you, to purge away your sin. He willingly took your sin upon his body, and he was able to say, "It is finished." Let us stand.